standing on a rooftop, looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel-blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out on my own, walking these streets. I look at the faces that I meet. I feel like I want to go home. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe. I still believe. Through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years, for people like us in places like this, we need all the hope that we can get.
Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Once again, I've got to thank Dave for the awesome slides this evening and the great script, as per usual. It's awesome. English Defence League radio show, The Golden Calf. That's the title of the show this evening. I say welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jess Spider-Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing events surrounding the religion of the left and their Islamic death cult allies. Their false gods allow them to harm everyone and everything that is not loyal to the golden calf of political correctness. The bright idol they have made hides unending darkness and we will lay that graven image low. No surrender ever. All that's necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those that make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was by the late, great John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me bring on my wingman and my dear friend and colleague, Dave. How are you, my dear friend? And I hope you're well. And for all the good people in the United States, a big salute to you all, guys. There you go, Dave. Back to you, mate.
Good evening, Jeff, and good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello to everybody in the United States of America and around the world, and of course off Earth. Hello to everybody in the live audience. And just for a point of interest, this program, the first part of it at least, will be rebroadcast on the 4th of July here in the United States on the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. So you guys who happen to be listening on that 4th of July, let's just hope that we have a country that is open and all of that kind of thing, and that is celebrating our freedom in style as we should, okay? And if we're not, then we know that the battle needs to continue. But, Jeff, yeah, we have a, and listeners, we have a big, big show going on today. We're going to be going back and forth a little bit because I wrote something about our Memorial Day today. Actually, Monday, we celebrate and honor, I should say, the people who have died for us in our various wars that we have had. And I have a little something I want to talk about with that. But first, we're going to get into one of the petitions we have, and then we have some news regarding another one. So we'll be going back and forth just a little bit here. But all has to do, Jeff, with that religion of the left, with that bowing down to political correctness and government and all of that, you know, that golden calf they've got that they shine up every day. Yeah. But we know what's inside of it. It's very dark. But
it smells of bullshit, mate. That's what it smells of. That's all the left. I had to say that because it's true. It's true. There's not a day goes by that they don't come out with some bull. And people are supposed to be. There are those numpties out there, the sheeple, that do go along with what they say. They're sad people. They sit in corners sucking their thumbs. They're the type of people that the left love, don't they, Dave? That they can manipulate those type of people because they're so easy to do it to, aren't they? Dave, back to you. What do you think of that?
I think you're right, Jeff. And we're going to begin everything now. We're going to talk about first the petitions, of course, which we're still exhorting people, if you live in the UK, to sign. This one, of course, is called Deport Omar. You can get to this one at https://www.tr.news/DeportOmar, and then another slash. Deport Omar, by the way, is one word. You guys have heard this numerous times on this show about this. It is a Omar is an individual who, an illegal alien from the Gambia who has been involved in various crimes in the UK, one of which was thwarted by Tommy Robinson. And this is a petition to have him deported once he has been punished for his crimes. And just, I'll turn it over to Jeff in a second, but all I'm saying is that this is this kind of individual, this kind of criminal individual who is an illegal alien to start with is exactly the sort of person you don't want in your country. We have the same kind of trash in our countries, and it's time to take it out. Jeff, I know you have a little something you want to say about this before we move on.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about this this Omar, this vermin that does not belong in this country, Far from it. We don't want people like him. I mean, we've got enough rabble as it is, let alone him. The thing about with Omar, that he's one of these characters that likes to lay into the dark. He's a bit like a cockroach. You know, he likes the dark. He doesn't like the popularity because he can't go about doing his business if it's all out there. Unfortunately for Omar, you're very popular. You're very popular. And a lot of people really detest you. You might think, people will say most people get 15 minutes of fame in their life. Guess what, Omar? You're getting a lot of that. You're never going to be. People know you are. And wherever you go, whatever you do, you'll be pointed at. Wow, what an achievement you've done as a low-life scumbag like you. One of those little cockroaches that scuttles about in the dark and does their disgusting deeds. It's been highlighted by the general public. And the show, like the English Defence League radio show, and many others. About that, Omar, you are very popular in a nefarious way. That's a better way to say it. In a nefarious way, Dave. I just want to let him know he's very popular. But he's not popular in we like you, Omar. He's popular. We want you gone, you little turd. Anyway, back to you, mate.
Jeff, I love it, man. can always count on you for being right on point. And yeah, Omar, he's a celebrity, but I think he's the kind of celebrity once he gets out of as you guys used to say, Her Majesty's Nick. He may want to toddle back off to the Gambia because he's not going to be welcome on the outside. Now, guys, I'm going to go ahead. I've already told Jeff that I want to read this. Memorial Day over here in the United States is as important to us as Remembrance Day is to you guys in the UK, all right? It is it's a solemn occasion. We do celebrate and honor those who have died for us in wartime. But something's happening here that I thought would never happen in my country, and that is that there are people now who can't properly celebrate it because of these lockdowns. So I had to write something, told Jeff I was going to do it. And here it is. Before I get into it, though, Jeff, do you want to check the chat room just to be sure? Because when I get into this, I'm going to get into it, and I'll let you know when I'm done, okay?
Right. It's all quiet on the East Anglian front, Dave. It's very quiet here, don't you know?
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. All right. And, Jeff, you and the listeners will know that I'm done when I give the hashtag, all right? Now, here we go.
Yes.
The Memorial Day 2020 weekend is here. As cowardly mini Hitlers, most of whom never served, let alone saw combat, are still shamefully locking down their fiefdoms and abusing their power with the Wuhan virus as the excuse, it is instructive to list just some of the conditions under which those who gave their lives for our nation had to struggle. Many U.S. soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines died from the diseases and disorders listed below. And sometimes we lost more to these than fell in actual combat. A partial list of diseases suffered by U.S. veterans during wartime. Now, in the Revolutionary War, smallpox was a big one then. The Barbary Wars. Multiple diseases and disorders associated with life on shipboard in the early 19th century, plus other health issues suffered ashore in North Africa. War of 1812. Dysentery, typhoid or lake fever. Pneumonia, malaria, measles, and smallpox. The Mexican War. This was one of our first encounters with yellow fever. the American Civil War, cholera, dysentery, measles, smallpox, malaria, pneumonia, the Spanish-American War, yellow fever, typhoid, malaria, and dysentery. World War I, trench foot, trench fever, or Quintan fever, typhoid, typhus, influenza, the Spanish flu, guys, malaria, and tuberculosis. And as I scroll down, I will remind our UK brothers and sisters that in World War I, many of your soldiers and other serving people went through these as well. World War II, polio, smallpox, yellow fever, measles, tetanus, and tuberculosis. The Korean War, malaria, trench foot, orthopantavirus, and hemorrhagic fever. Again, people from both the United States and from the UK suffered from these, many of which were related to intense cold in that area. Then in the Vietnam War, it picks up. Hepatitis A and hepatitis E, typhoid fever, malaria. My cousin actually suffered from that and had to be invalided out of the service for it. Dengue fever, yellow fever, Japanese encephalitis, African trypanosomiasis, the plague, Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, Rift Valley fever, chikungunya, leptospirosis, schistosomiasis, Lassa fever, meningococcal meningitis, and Hong Kong flu. Again, this happened around 1968. You guys can look that one up. In the Gulf War and Afghanistan, malaria, brucellosis, Campylobacter jejuni, Coxiella brunetti, or Q fever, Mycobacterium tuberculosis, nentyphoid salmonella, Shigella, visceral leishmaniasis, and West Nile virus. Exposure disorders, extreme weather-related disorders, injuries from dangerous animals, insects, and arachnids, like spiders and scorpions, plus health issues arising from exposure to asbestos, chemical agents, and nuclear materials. That happened in all of the wars that our people participated in, except, of course, for the nuclear materials. That happened only in the 20th century. During these times of war and the lonely watches between, the civilian population of the United States suffered from the above and other diseases of varying scope until 2020. Our country was never shut down. It is time to honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice and open up our nation. The nation our war dead hoped they would come home to alive. Hashtag never forget. Jeff, would you like to comment, brother?
Well, I'm surprised that the human race has survived with all those diseases out of there, Dave. All those things that a lot of the military, our men and your men and women, died from, actually not on the battlefield, but they died through all these diseases. I'm surprised with how many that you read out there, and there must have been, well, I don't know, maybe 100, 200, I don't know. I'm surprised, really, and I'm very proud of both of our militaries, because them men and women, they serve their country, they love their country, and they want to serve and they want to protect, and they do the right thing. And sadly, for a lot of them, they succumb to these absolutely horrific diseases that, you know, they never even dreamed that they'd end up in hospital, when they thought they might have been hit by a bullet or something. But no, a lot of it is disease related. And that's the thing, isn't it, Dave? I mean, as you say, a lot of it's underestimated, but I'm surprised that we've managed to survive with so many absolutely deadly things out there that we have, as a species of the human race, have survived so long with these terrible, terrible diseases, Dave. But God bless the yes, say for the Memorial Day, the Memorial Weekend, for all your soldiers and you know the ladies and from all the services. You served your country well, and God bless you. I'm sure all of our nations are very proud of you, and we always will be. And you are a heartbeat, you know, the heartbeat of the country. When there's a call for arms, you guys are always there. And that's why we love you. That's why, isn't it, Dave? Back to you, mate.
That's beautiful, Jeff, and thank you, man. We do honor those who died, but it is rather sobering to hear some of the other conditions under which they died in war. And as you say, it wasn't because they were hit by a bullet or blown up by a shot from a cannon or something like that. It's because they were laid low by something like yellow fever or dysentery or West Nile virus or something of that nature. And of course, that's not the death that they thought that they would possibly suffer. But the thing that we have to remember, and this is true also for the soldiers of the UK when you know they've joined us in the fight as well, and we've joined them depending on when the war was, is they suffered from some of the same things. The Spanish flu was horrific in World War One in both our nations' militaries. They brought down a bunch of our guys, and it was a terrible, but we lived through it, and neither of our countries shut down because of it or anything of that nature. And so, yeah, while we honor our war dead, let's open our countries back up, not only for those who are living now, but to honor those who gave their lives so we could be free. Now, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead.
It seems my apologies, Dave. I must have had a slight delay there. Go ahead, mate, because you've got something else you want to say. I'm sorry about that. I just went over the top here. Back to you, mate.
Well, no, man. I'm going to prepare the next thing that we want to play. If you have a comment, please go ahead, and I'll get this next thing ready because it's about that other petition. But go on with your comment, man.
Yeah, no, it's gone now. I mean, it was something. As you said something, I just thought of something, and it's gone. There it was. It was gone. It was whizzing about my head, and I'm having one of those days where, you know, I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst. But I'm just forgetting things now. It must be the age, Dave, and that's what it is. Must be my age catching up with me. So I still class myself as a young spring chicken, even though that I'm past the prime or sell by date, Dave. Oh, back to you, mate.
Go ahead. We'll just go ahead and blame it on the Russians, Jeff. I mean, that's a popular pastime here in the United States.
I'll blame the bloody Chinese, mate. This moment in time. The Ruskies, well, we deal with the Ruskies, but the Chinese.
Well, certainly,
I'm not
certainly
the
communists
this time.
certainly the communists have always been little buggers. The Chinese people. I have to say, the Chinese people love freedom as much as anybody else, you know, but this is all a consequence of the actions of the communist government over there. And that who is really to blame. The Chinese people are having to live under this totalitarianism, and in a way they're in worse shape than any of us are, because they can't even speak. They can't even do with this social credit system over there, Jeff. It's just terrible. It's a fascist dream. But we're going to go ahead, Jeff, and we're going to talk about the other petition. Now, guys, I'm going to read out the other petition information for you after I play this audio from the We Got a Problem guy, just to catch you up on this, because we do get new listeners. I know a lot of people are familiar with it already. Okay. But, we do get new listeners, and it's good to have a refresher. Plus, the latest things that have happened. And this was something that the We Got a Problem guy put out on the 20th of this month. And it does bear listening to. Jeff, if you want to check the chat room one more time.
Just before you do, just got to let you know, we've got a dear friend, Bigfoot's joined us. And he said, hi, Jeff, and hi, Agador. Big thumbs up. Salute you, Bigfoot. Dave.
Beautiful, man. Perfect timing, Jeff. Love it. Yeah, Biggie, welcome.
Yeah.
Bigfoot's place at blogspot.com. People visit there. All right, Bigfoot,
awesome.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah, thank you for joining us in chat. And guys, if you want to join us in chat, we podcast here live at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and at 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States on Thursdays and Sundays. Just go to blogtalkradio.com. Look for the white search box at the top center. Type in English Defense League Radio. Follow the links and you'll get to our show page. And you have to be registered with Blog Talk Radio to be in the chat. But hey, all you have to do is do that. And then Jeff will give you a shout out, just like he did for our good friend Biggie. So, guys, this is going to be about 13 and a quarter minutes long. But it's important to find out about this. And I will give you the specific information on how you can sign the petition that the We Got a Problem guy is going to talk about here once this is over. So, Jeff, if you're ready, we'll roll this.
Yeah, let's go, Dave. Let's roll.
All right, guys, you're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Welcome to the video, guys. We've had some what is possibly good news. Well, it's not even really good news. It's kind of us being fobbed off, which, to be honest, is no more than I expected, though the government have done it a bit quicker than I thought they would. I assumed it would actually require a lot more pressure than has been applied, but it would appear the government have found themselves an easy out, which we will go over in a minute. Now, a quick reminder of how this has progressed over the last couple of years, all of course starting with Sajid Javid ordering research into the ethnicity of grooming gangs and their victims. Which, rather than me reading through this Sky News article you can see here, I will play a clip of Sajid Javid speaking on Sky News about this grooming gang issue and the research that he planned to publish back in 2018.
When I made that comment, I was stating the fact, and the sad truth is, that if you look at recent high-profile convictions of gang-based child sexual exploitation, there's a majority of people that come from Pakistani heritage backgrounds. And that's playing for their for everyone to see. And what I've said is that we, in trying to deal with this, trying to turn this around, there we must look at all factors, and we must not be too sensitive and shy away or be oversensitive. And that's why I think that we should be looking at to see if there are any cultural issues, and that's why I've commissioned some research on it.
Now, obviously, after Sajid Javid said all that on Sky News, he had to defend himself. Sajid Javid defends noting the ethnicity of child grooming gangs. Because pointing out the ethnicity of people who are abusing children on an industrial scale makes you racist, which, obviously, The Guardian couldn't call Sajid Javid, though they really wanted to do it. The Home Secretary, Sajid Javid, has defended calling a convicted sexual grooming gang sick Asian paedophiles, arguing that noting the ethnicity of the perpetrators was a key element in tackling such crimes, because he is more than likely aware of exactly why they are doing it. Now, obviously, with politics the way it is, Sajid Javid actually ended up losing his job as the Home Secretary. You may remember, for a time, he was the Chancellor. So, with him moving, the report fell by the wayside and never actually got released. Which fast-forwards us into this year and the 21st of February, where The Independent released this article here. Grooming gang review kept secret as Home Office claims releasing findings are not in the public interest. Government is refusing to release official research on the characteristics of grooming gangs, claiming it is not in the public interest, which obviously led us to put our petition out and show the government that actually it is in the public's interest. Though 99% of the country still hasn't seen the grooming gang petition and likely knows nothing about it. Survivors accused ministers of making empty promises, while a man who prosecuted abusers in Rochdale called for the Home Office to show some courage and publish its findings. It comes after The Independent revealed that almost 19,000 suspected child sexual exploitation victims were identified by local authorities in just 1 year, sparking renewed calls for prevention efforts. And obviously, we know what he said in 2018, we just see a video of it. Now, like I said, their refusal to publish it and claiming it wasn't in the public's best interest forced the internet community's hand, and this petition here was put up, which I have promoted a fair few times and currently sits at 125,911 signatures at the time of recording. And of course, eventually the government did respond on the 24th of April 2020 to our request to have the Grooming Gang Review released in full, which the word full I want you to remember because it will become important when we look at the most recent information on this situation. But anyway, I'm not going to bother reading through the government's response. I've covered it in a previous video if you want to see exactly what they've said and my thoughts on it. A quick rundown of that would be they are treating us like Labour, telling us they are throwing money at the problem like that is what we asked for, essentially just fobbing us off as you would expect. Now, that response was not only rejected by us, the people of this country, but also by the leader of the petitions committee and Labour MP, Catherine McKinnell, along with a Tory MP from Ipswich, who also sits on the petition committee, having of course received multiple correspondence from constituents concerned that the government was essentially whitewashing this report. As you can see by this independent article here, which I'm not going to bother going through, but essentially they were saying the exact same thing that we was. It is a piss poor response that did not answer the question that was being asked in the petition. Instead, treated us like we were Labour, as I said, and tried to claim that they were throwing money at it like we thought that was the problem. We really want you to pay these organisations that failed these girls for years and years more and more money, because that has helped the situation previously, hasn't it? In my opinion, it would likely just give them more resources so they can cover it up in future. Well, if the Independent was to be believed last night, you would think that the government have fully caved and, as this article headlines, done a U-turn in relation to the Grooming Gang report, which, let me tell you, they really haven't. They have just fobbed us off with a little sleight of hand that makes it look like they are releasing the details, when in actual fact, I am almost sure they will be heavily doctored out of all recognition. But something else you will notice is that almost every article relating to this is from the Independent. No one else appears to want to touch it. Sky News won't bother, since obviously Sajid Javid was on there in 2018, the BBC have reported on it once, and that was only that the petition existed, which was a few months ago now. So, as I said before, well done to The Independent for keeping on this. Research on the characteristics of grooming gangs is to be published by the government following a U-turn. In response to a Freedom of Information request by The Independent, the Home Office previously said releasing the paper would not be in the public's interest, as we saw earlier. The response sparked a government petition that has so far been signed by almost 126,000 people demanding the release of the official research on grooming gangs undertaken by the government in full. Like I said earlier, make sure you remember that wording there, in full, because the government are not planning to do that at all. So they still haven't answered the petition at the end of the day. We know about its initial reply and the piss poor nonsense that was. On Tuesday, the Home Office announced that it would publish a paper into group-based child exploitation in order to better understand the characteristics of group-based offending and help deliver justice for victims. No, we didn't ask you to release a paper on it. We asked you to release the report in full. No redactions to it, of course, in line with data protection and such things, but still a full release, not publish a paper where you will take tiny little snippets out of it and stick that in your paper, while leaving most of the important information out, which we all know is what is going to happen. We know the work was commissioned by previous Home Secretary Sajid Javid. The Independent understands that the format of the document to be published later this year has not yet been decided. An external reference group of experts is set to be established to review the research before its publication. Now that, I have a massive problem with. Surely the document was compiled by a bunch of experts in their respective fields to get the information in the first place. Why would it need another group of people to go over it, unless of course you are trying to hide some stuff in there that you don't want us to see? And I'll tell you what, the mind boggles as to what that could be, who it could involve, and as to whether it's just relating to the grooming gangs themselves. For all we know, it could be an absolute can of worms, outside of the facts that are likely going to outrage the country if and when they come out. Pretty Piss Poor Patel, who has met with survivors and the National Crime Agency on the issue, said victims of these sickening child sex abuse groups have told me how they were let down by the state in the name of political correctness. Well, I'm sorry to say, Pretty Patel, you are letting down these girls and this country in the name of political correctness by putting an external reference group of experts to go over this information before it is given to the public. The petition asked for the report to be released in full, not for you to release a whitewashed paper of it that an external group of experts have gone through and redacted most of the important information. You are letting the people of this country down with this disgraceful attempt at a whitewash, in my opinion. What happened to these children remains one of the biggest stains on our country's conscience. It is shameful. I am determined to deliver justice for victims and ensure something like this can never happen again. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you in your little bubble, but I expect it's happening on a daily basis right now. Yet, you are doing nothing and instead are going to wait until near the end of the year to allow a so-called group of experts to go through and doctor this report before you release it to the public. The announcement was made on the deadline set by a parliamentary committee considering whether to hold a House of Commons debate on why the research had not been released. Earlier this month, the petition committee told the Home Office to issue a revised response to the petition by the 20th of May because the original reply had not directly addressed the request, as we said. Which, I've said it already and I'm going to say it again, this still does not address the request. Remember, the petition says release the grooming gang report in full, not make some doctored papers that you have allowed some so-called external experts to come in and produce. That is not what the petition asked for. Catherine McKinnell needs to get back on the government's arse over that. Labour MP for Rotherham, Miss Champion, said, "I am glad it's coming out, but the frustration is that there's not a publication date." Yes, that is a frustration, but there is also frustration that is going to be a complete whitewashed paper, as I've said many times, and the wording in this article points out perfectly. An external group going over it before it gets published and it's only being turned into a paper, not the full report, means we are not going to get any of the information, in my opinion. So, while it's good news that the government say they are going to release it, it is extremely bittersweet because I know it is not going to contain all of the information that it should. So guys, we will have to continue with the pressure on the government around this because they are going to try and fob us off with this waste of time paper that they plan to put out. Now before I go, I've started doing live streams and uploading gaming content on my second channel. If you would like to come and join me for a live stream to chat in real time, have an interest in gaming related content on YouTube, or just want to follow me over there because you are a legend, the link will be down in the video description below and as a pinned comment. I hope to see you all there. Now as always, before I go, I want to thank our PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar and YouTube members for supporting the channel, along with everyone who watches my videos. Remember to let me know what you guys think down in the comment section below. Leave a like, subscribe with the notification bell and share this video as it helps the channel a lot, and I will see you all in the next one.
There is a pattern consistent throughout history of oppressed people turning on the oppressors. Slaves against their owners, the peasantry against the feudal barons, colonies, Mr. Verhofstadt, against their empires, and that is why Britain is leaving. And it doesn't matter which language you use, we are going and we are glad to be going. We're off.
And welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with the host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, I know you'll have a fair bit to say about this.
Well, I will just say that this so-called paper isn't what we've asked for, which that guy was saying. We're asking for the unredacted report that was made into this disgusting thing that's been going on for a hell of a long time now. We want to see it all. Stop trying to fob us off, because we will keep coming at you. We'll have our foot on your neck until it is finally all out. So don't think that you can do something, that you can retract things and black things out, because we know what you're like. What are you scared of? What is so damning about this report? You want to choose a paper to just pick and choose what you want. Is it because of your Muslim friends? Are they not very happy about this report? Is that what it is? Is it the money? Is it the Saudi Arabians are not very happy? Because they'll start taking your money away, you know, the old petrol dollar. Is that what it's about? Because we, the people, the sovereign people of this country, deserve the truth, what went on. Do not try to fob us off. We're not fools. We've been following this for a long time. I have, many of us have. And we've heard these harrowing stories of these kids, what they've had to put up with. How dare you try to cover it up? Unless you're trying to cover up your own misdeeds. Is that what it is? Maybe something leads to you lot? That's what my mind. Why would they cover it up, Dave? What have they got to cover it up for? That's all I say. Is it because they're told you're going to lose this, that contract? It's all about money. Our children comes first. The kids of this country, who's been suffering at the hands of these absolutely depraved vermin that prey on vulnerable kids, because they are horrible, disgusting cowards to do that, and they think they can get away with it with the help of the police. We can't report this because it causes we'd be classed as racist, don't you know? We can't do this. Guess what? Well, we know what you've all been doing, and we know how involved you lot are. But I'm saying this now. Most of us in this country who've been speaking about this, who signed that petition, and I hope after this tonight, I hope thousands more keep signing it. But they better listen to us, because we're really fed up. We don't like the way that our children are being used by foreigners in this country. Yep. There you go, Dave. There's more I could say, but I'm probably going to implicate myself and the other. So, yeah. Anyway, back to you, Dave. Yeah, Dave, how do you feel about it? I get fed up with them saying they're going to put a paper out there, and we know it's all retracted, probably about 2 pages, and that file was probably about 100, 200 pages, and they're going to cut it down to a couple of pages, just the highlights of the report. How dare they? We want to see the full thing. We want to see it put out there on their website. We, the people, demand it. That's what we put you in power. We demand it. So, Dave, back to you.
Well, Jeff, as Charlie backs up there, our executive producer, before I begin with my comment on it, I'll remind you of the time. You might want to check the clock and just see when you need to call back in. And I'll say here that we need to go ahead and go through the specifics of this so people in the UK who want to go in and sign this will be able to do so, all right? The URL that you want to follow to go to this one is https://petition.parliament.uk/petitions/300239. That's 300239. All right, and this one so far has been waiting 75 days for a debate date, and it currently stands at 126,324 signatures. That's the raw stats on it right now. Now, I found it very interesting, Jeff. Remember the last show we did, you were the one that found the Independent article. I did not. And that's because in scanning the news for this to try and get confirmation from a story that you found originally somewhere else, I looked at the Mail, the Express, the Sun. I didn't look at the Independent, and evidently it was the only paper that was covering this. And that being the case, it was difficult to find. But yes, this is the kind of government shuffle that we've seen before in other situations. It certainly isn't what the petition asks for. It is, in a way, it's basically an insult to all the people who signed the petition. No, release unredacted and not what we in the United States here would call a summary of the report. Not, you know, you don't need a summary. You need the whole report, unredacted with all of the facts that the people themselves can analyze. No, you don't need analysis from a group of so-called experts. Let me ask you this, Jeff. Do you think that Base Damie is going to be in that group of experts? Do you think that Tommy Robinson's going to be in that group of experts? Or do you think that it's going to be stuffed with Muslims and lefties and people of that nature who are just going to try and put out some politically correct garbage and call it a summary and tell people, okay, be satisfied with that? No, the people of the UK will not be satisfied with that. And we on this show are going to continue to promote signing that petition until a proper response is gained.
Well, we're on one. This is a crusade. This show is a crusade to get justice and the report, the full report, and nothing but the full report out there. And we'll keep pushing and pushing. We will be that itch you can't get away from, Johnson, and your the rest of this skullduggers out there. I know the reason why. I know now. I'm going to say what it is. The reason why they're trying to keep it out of the public viewing. The reason why is simply because it's so damning to the Muslim communities. That's what's so damning about it. They realise that they're going to get a lot of flack from their Muslim brothers of England, whatever they want to call them, and all the rest of them. So they got to try to have a watered-down effect, because this is, the politics of this country now is the cowardness of the politicians. When you think some of them have got, a bit of bottle, they all of a sudden they dip down and put their heads under the blankets, and this is going to go away. No, it's not going to go away. How dare you? It will not go away. What's been going on is a travesty of justice and misdoings of justice in this country, which we've been seeing for generations now. And we're all fed up of it. How dare you try to cover it up, because it's the Muslims who are the prime ones. Yes, we know we got others out there, but they are the grooming gangs. That's why it was called the Grooming Gang Revolt. That's what it was about. And now they're too scared to put it out there. Well, be mad enough, put it out there, because we'll keep pushing. It will come out in the end. I guarantee you, we're not going to go away from this. There's thousands, in fact, millions of us who refuse to back away and just take on what you tell us. Do you think we believe a word you tell us there? We've seen idiots flooding over our borders all the time. You say, nothing to see here. We've seen them. How dare you try to cover things up? You know, as I say, don't forget, it was us who put you in power. Us. Those 17.4 million people, the Brexiteers, Muslims, put you back in power. And you go against us, that's it. We'll get rid of you and all the shambles, because we could do that. Yeah, we're sorry people. You're not. We are. Do you understand where I'm coming from? If any of the politicians, you listen to me, we're the sovereign people, you are not. You work on our behalf. I'm telling you now, release that unretracted. We don't want just a couple of pages of what you want it to be. And please all your mates, your Muslim mates. No, we want it all. The whole report unretracted. There you go. I've said my bit. And Charlie's popping something. I don't know who's doing that. Anyway, back to you, Dave.
Yeah, well, Charlie seems to be about as upset about all this as the rest of us are. But Jeff, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, they're going to find, I think they've already found, and they already knew this report just confirms it, that Islam is at the root of the industrial scale jihad, gang, sex trafficking, and usury of these children in the UK. They know it, and they just don't want to release the facts. But we're going to go on and talk about another...
They don't release it. They're condemning themselves as well, aren't they? You know, we've got the problems. But they're the handlers. They're handling this situation. As far as I'm concerned, they're no different to those people that done these despicable crimes to these kids over the years. They are just the handlers. Back to you, Dave. Sorry, Dave. I'm going to have to take that break in a second, bro.
Yeah, go right ahead, Jeff. And in the meantime, I'll set people up here for the next aspect of what we're going to talk about, right?
Good,
now,
Dave. I'll be right
Islam,
back.
All right. Now, Islam is the prime mover in these child sex promotion gangs in the UK. And, of course, it is a prime mover for Islamic terror because it is Islamic terror. All right. So you have to look at it from that perspective. And in that perspective, we're going to talk about the final score, so to speak, of the Ramadan bombathon. Ramadan is finally over. All right. And what that means is that we do have a final score. And this year, welcome back, Jeff. This year, it was a little bit less than it normally is. I mean, usually this time of year, guys, we wind up with more or less about 1,500 people dead. And of course, that's just the dead. That's not injured and people of that nature. But this time, part of this is because of the Wuhan virus lockdown. We have only 175 attacks that occurred and 718 dead. Of course, that's 718 too many, but that is at least less than it was. And it, by the way, if you want to learn about the motivations and everything behind why these attacks take place, go to thereligionofpeace.com. It'll give you Quranic excuses and also... it will give you excuses that they use from the Hadiths and the Sirahs and things of that nature, their own quote-unquote holy writings that allow them to do these terrible things, okay? And we're just going to round this off now. We, you know, I'm going to give you guys the countries involved and also going to give instances of terror here starting on the 21st, which was the last day that we read these out. And there aren't that many of them. But, of course, each death and each attack is significant. And as Jeff says, these are people. These aren't just statistics. Jeff, I'm going to start off here on the 21st in the USA, Corpus Christi, Texas. That's right. A Muslim terrorist opened fire on a Navy base, injuring a sailor. In India, Muslim terrorists fired on a police patrol, killing one member. In Yemen, one defender loses their life to an attack by Shiite militias. In Iraq, a civilian is reduced to pulp by Sunni shrapnel. same country on the 22nd, and the 22nd was also the one when the previous one was. A guard at an oil refinery is cut down by Mujahideen gunmen. Also on the 22nd, Afghanistan. Two Afghans were killed during an attack by Taliban fundamentalists. And I just want to say, guys, again, the Taliban is not gone, and they haven't stuck by any ceasefire agreements that they have made. Okay? Same country, same day, a local cop is gunned down at a mosque by Religion of Peace rivals. On the 23rd, in Pakistan, a young couple is shot by the girl's family in an honor-related incident. And that is the final one, Jeff. That is it for the Ramadan Kill Fest this year. And as I say, people should go to thereligionofpeace.com if they want to find out the motivations for this horror that takes place every year. And it never stops, guys. It's just going to slow down a bit now. Okay? But
we'll
it never stops.
We'll have attack every day. Just because the Ramadan killathon's over, that doesn't stop the evil of this death cult continuing on its way. And because, as I say, it is the bloodlust that keeps them going. They get a taste of the blood, they love it, they want more, and that's the reason why they do. They can't help themselves. They're driven by hatred. They're driven by hatred of the infidel, of the kufar, of anybody else that isn't a Muslim. And even they hate each other as well. There's more Muslims killed by the Muslims themselves than probably anybody else. So, you know, the first victim of Islam is the Muslims. And we've always said that from day one. I remember saying that the first victims of Islam is the Muslims themselves. But then we come across the horrific things that we've seen over the years, and it just seems it's like going through a nightmare mode, isn't it? If you reflect on different things, it's like reliving a horror story that's just still unfolding. It's just the way they are. They know no better. It's this terrible, disgusting thing that was put in front of them to call and say, this is what you've got to live your life by. Some idiot that was a total warlord, that had sex with young children, that he was into necrophilia, animals, nothing stood in his way. Even a watermelon, ladies and gentlemen, even a watermelon. Watermelons these days got to have a veil around them. You did know that, don't you, Dave? Watermelons need a veil because their prophet was so overcome that he made a hole in a watermelon and used it to pleasure himself. But then again, nothing to be expected any different. This is what they want to lead their lives like. This is a man. I wouldn't call him a man myself, just But they want to live their lives like he lived their lives. But I know, I've questioned, put it this way, ladies and gentlemen, I've had a conversation many times going back through the years. And one of the questions I'll say, you know, you talk so much about Islam, you defile any other faith out there. And I said, but do you want to live your life like your prophet? Of course I do. I say, so you agree to sleeping with children underage? No. Hang about. This is what your so-called prophet did. No. And then they start attacking you. Dave, that is it. Because as I will always say, Islam is undefendable. They cannot defend it. Every time you will blow them away. And someone that you should listen to very is to Robert Spencer. Robert Spencer had a very fine way of debating. And you know, he smiled a lot because, you know, he was on a winner. They didn't. I remember one of them on Asian radio, Dave. Asian radio. Robert Spencer was debating with this Muslim, and this imam, and he said, Robert, no, you know, you know more about this than me. And the commentator said, oh, he's an Asian commentator. He said, hang about, you're an imam. And you just said that Robert Spencer knows more about his field than you, but you're supposed to be the main man. Do you see what I'm saying, David? they can't win. They can't win. I wanted to say that. Back to you, Dave.
Right, Jeff, and the Robert Spencer also runs Jihad Watch. It's a very good source, again, for you guys to use. We could do entire shows just off of what they put in Jihad Watch every week. He does a great job, and that's another good place to go. That is another good place.
For many years.
That's another good place to go for current information about what the latest outrages of Islam against non-Muslims and other Muslims are happening. Okay, that's another great place for you to go. And we're going to move on over here to the States and talk about other persecution that is going on in our own country here in the United States. See, it's not just churches in Africa that are being burned down. We've had two church burnings here in the United States of America, and it has been because these congregations over here, some of them have begun to defy the leftist lockdown rules, which basically say you can go and have an abortion and get chock-a-block, you know, side by side with people in an abortion clinic, but you can't have a church service. So some of these congregations have just said, you know what, we're gathering together peacefully. If you tell us we can't do that, it's unconstitutional. We're going to do it anyway. But that has resulted in some of the little micro Hitlers that have been created by the left and their panic porn about this Wuhan virus to begin acting violently and burning down churches. And I'm going to play you one right here. Jeff, if you want to check the chat to see if anybody else is in there. All right.
Yeah,
I've got
Big Book making a comment about our executive producer, Dave, and Big Book saying, I see or hear that Jeff's bird is still alive and well. And I replied, laugh out loud, yes, Big Book, she's still chirping for England, bro. There you go, Dave. Thank you. Thanks for that comment as well.
Yes, Charlie is our executive. Yes, Charlie is our executive producer. And, of course, Blue, the ring-necked parakeet, is also our associate producer. So we do have quite a team here. All right, guys. Now, in aspect of this church burning here in the United States, we're going to give you info on just one of them. And it was pretty bad. And I will fill the story in after this audio is over. Okay, this also took place on the 20th, and it is just about 6 1/4 minutes long. So, Jeff, if you're ready, I'll roll this one. And this will also give you guys,
yeah, okay,
by the way.
Thanks.
All right. This will also give you guys an idea just how journalism handles a story when it's new, and I'll fill in the rest of it afterward. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here you go.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Douglas here in the WMC Action News 5 digital desk. It's 10:46 on a Wednesday morning, and we are getting more information about a church fire that investigators have ruled arson this morning in North Mississippi. It is something that we have a crew that's headed there right now. I've also got off the phone about 20 minutes ago with one of the lead investigators on scene, and he was updating me on exactly what happened. We do have some pictures here that I'd like to share with you that is from the scene here, Holly Springs, Mississippi. This is going to be the First Pentecostal Church of Holly Springs, Mississippi. So the call came in, according to investigators, it came in after 2:00 in the morning, okay? And from what investigators told me, this church here, as you can see, destroyed by flames. Firefighters say it was fully engulfed when they arrived. Here's another picture I want to show you from the scene. You can see a firefighter there off in the distance, but there's a portion of the building there that you can see. There was also some evidence that investigators are going to use. In fact, the officer with Marshall County Sheriff's Office, I believe it's Major Kelly McMillan. Kelly McMillan told me on the phone that there was enough evidence there collected at the scene that they're searching right now to connect that evidence on the scene with a suspect because they are almost certain, in fact, they are certain that this was an arson fire that happened overnight. And again, firefighters arrived here on the scene after 2 o'clock, and there was flames shooting out from this church. Here's another picture, a wider angle of what this church looked like. Again, this is the First Pentecostal Church in Holly Springs, Mississippi. Now, when I talked to them, they said a number of the church members were out of town. They were in Gatlinburg. There was about 100 to 150 church members involved in this church here. And it's been there at that location for several years, from what I'm told. And at this hour, some 8 to 9 hours later, that church is still smoldering. You can see a number of different firefighters. These pictures came in to us about an hour ago. And from what I understand, firefighters and investigators are still there on the scene, gathering clues, gathering evidence of what exactly happened and how it happened. Let me show you another picture here, a close-up of what used to be the First Pentecostal church there, the sanctuary of Holly Springs, Mississippi. Investigators also telling me on the phone that the church members, when they reached out and told the church members what had happened, very disappointed, very upset. Again, a number of different church members were in Gatlinburg when they called. So that is something that they're working, and obviously there's going to be some church members that'll be coming by to take a look at what exactly happened and why. Why was this church targeted, and who would have done something like this? Let me show you the final picture that we have here. I believe we have, yeah, this is the final picture. So there were 4 pictures that were sent, and as I mentioned, we do have a crew that's headed there. Ariana Poindexter and a photographer are headed there to gather more evidence, to gather more information on what exactly happened here, this fire that just destroyed the First Pentecostal Church of Holly Springs, Mississippi. These are the 4 pictures that were given to us by investigators who remain on the scene to try and piece together the clues and evidence that they have gathered to figure out who would do this. Again, the call came in a little bit after 2 this morning. So this is Wednesday morning. And by the time firefighters got there, got to the scene, it was fully engulfed. So what's interesting is that there are some markings that were found and discovered there on scene. And these markings, according to investigators with the Marshall County Sheriff's Office, these markings are really going to help them with evidence, with clues to perhaps give an idea of who might have been so upset with this church, the First Pentecostal Church of Holly Springs, that they, a person or persons, would light it on fire and destroy it in the middle of the night. And that's what happened here. So just to recap here, First Pentecostal Church of Holly Springs, Mississippi, went up in flames in the overnight hours. Firefighters arrived on the scene a little bit after 2 o'clock, fully engulfed. Church members, a number of them were out of town. There's about 100 to 150 church members that are part of this congregation, and they've been there for several years, obviously very upset when they heard the news that their church has been destroyed by fire. And so some 8 hours later or so, this church is still smoldering at this hour, and firefighters are still there. So we have WMC Action News 5's Ariana Poindexter that's headed there to the scene. Make sure you check with WMC Action News 5 at noon. You can stream the noon broadcast with Kim Clark online, on our website, on our free mobile news app. It's a free download in your app store. You can also get information. This story right now is posted on our website. It is the top story on our homepage. So feel free to get information there. We're going to be updating our web story. In addition to that, we're going to have live updates from the scene from Arianna Poindexter beginning on WMC Action News 5 at noon. This is Andrew Douglas reporting here in the WMC Digital Desk.
All right. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with host Jeff Spider Mitchell. And Jeff, if you'll give me a moment, I do want to, yes, I see that we have a caller, but I do want to go ahead and fill the story out for everyone. Okay. Now, to get everybody up to speed on the story, the individual who burned down the church, went inside and vandalized it first. Okay. So, there's that, and the message that they left was probably a man, was, and I quote, "Bet you stay home now, you hypocrites," and he spelled it HYPOKRITS, so he didn't even spell that right. Jeff, just to give you some analysis, I know you're going to want to turn it over to taking the call after this, but just to give you some analysis, that to me, that sounds a lot like it was a lefty who set this fire, probably an atheist, because atheists love to call Christians hypocrites. And that, I think, that, Jeff, is more or less the end of my analysis, except to say that this is exactly the sort of thing that these governors have whipped up, exactly the sort of hate. Now they have resorted to church burning and things of that nature. And we should all in the United States remember who these governors and mayors and whatnots are in November so we can get to the ballot box and take them out that way. Jeff, back over to you, brother. Thank you for letting me do this, man.
Yeah, disgusting. I thought that when you said that. I was in two minds because we know there's lots of churches going up in flames across the world. By the usual suspects, the ones who totally despise Christianity, Christians, etc. But it has come over to me as what you said, that this is definitely a lefty, or he's very, well, he misspelled it because he wanted it, because he didn't want it to show any sort of intelligence. But anyway, my thoughts, my prayers go out to all the parishioners that frequent this church. It's very sad. I hope you get a crowdfunding together, and hopefully you'll have your church rebuilt. You know, you've got a lot of good people out there. But anyway, as I say, despicable act. I think it's horrific. But we have got a call. I'm just going to say we're down to the last 13 minutes of the show, and I want to take this call. He has been hanging on for, or she's been hanging on, I'm not sure exactly, but let's bring the caller in for a quick burst. Good evening, caller. Call into the English Defence League radio show this evening. What can we do for you? And what's your name? And whatever. Go on, mate. You go ahead.
Yes, this is Brother Mike. How you doing?
Oh, Mike. Hello, Mike. Good evening, my friend.
Yes.
Yeah, what up, Mike?
I hope you're keeping well, my friend.
All right. So can you tell us in the neck of your woods right now what's going on with the reopening? Are you open up yet, or are you still locked down until July 2nd in UK?
Well, we're in the process of slowly starting to put things together. We've got a plan of how they're doing it. So, you know, some of the schools will be going back in June, which is, you know, less than a week and a half away. So that's happening. And it's going to be a slow process, but it is happening. It's not as dire as when we last spoke, Mike, as what we're seeing over in Hong Kong with the Chinese causing all sorts of problems now, enforcing the rule of their law over the Hong Kong, and sadly that is something that we're watching very closely, Mike, definitely watching. But at the moment, yes, everything's slowly but surely getting a little bit better, but we'll see how it goes. Thank you for that, Mike, yeah, we're getting there. And I think Dave will actually say the same. Dave, would you like to comment on how things are coming on in the United States?
Well, we have various states opening up at varying speeds. The state of Vermont here is going to begin, has been slowly opening up, too slowly in my opinion. They're going to begin by the end of this month to allow hairdressers, barbershops, that sort of thing, and more importantly, churches to open up and not be harassed for doing so by the end of this month. So that reopening is beginning, and it's increasing exponentially because our governors and mayors and people like that who want to keep the panic porn going and want to keep everyone shut down and want to keep depressing their own economies are now beginning to get competition from other states and cities who are saying, hey, okay, you know, if people don't want to do business where you are, come on over here to us. You can do business where we are. The United States is beginning to get on the move. And just to remind you fellas, okay, we've got 10 minutes left in the show.
Yes, there I you go. To let you know.
Go ahead, Mike. We've got about 10 minutes of the show left.
Okay.
Just one more thing there, brother, before we start wrapping the show up. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. In Texas, when they opened, there was a hairdresser with simple, he had the coronavirus, and she was, a little bit simple, systematic. So anyway, she gave coronavirus to 91 people on one day.
Wow,
and we know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm just giving you background music to go on with the panic porn. Go ahead, brother.
Right. So anyway, the coronavirus is going to be on the planet for the next centuries to come. So it's not going away.
Mike, I'm going to have to cut you off now. Mike, we're not panicking as we was. I mean, whatever the problem comes along, there could be a spike later on down the line. Then we quickly get into it and try to resolve that problem. So we're trying not to worry too much. Yes, there is a problem. We are still having people dying, but we've got to get our economy back to work one way or the other. And sadly, there is going to be some people that succumb to this horrible problem. But Mike, once again, I've got to thank you for calling in tonight. Thank you for your call as usual. It's lovely to hear you.
Sure.
As usual. So, brother, you take care and stay safe, and hope that we hear you on another night. Maybe call in a little bit earlier so we can give you 10 minutes
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, you take care, and we'll speak to you soon.
Need to have social distance.
Bye-bye, brother. Bye-bye. Yeah. Okay. Social distance, brother. Take care.
We
God bless you, brother.
Anyway, take care.
All right.
God bless. And speak soon. Mike should come now. Anyway. Dave, we're coming down to the last 7.5 minutes. So would you like to do your thing, your final thoughts for this evening, where the great listeners can find you, all the great works that you do? Oh, it's you, Dave. Let's roll.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And I hope everyone enjoyed the incidental music I gave for the panic porn there. We love Mike. He's a good guy, but really that was all that he was spewing out was panic porn. And I had to do it, Jeff. Anyway, everybody, please visit the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. I can also be heard on Western Free Radio and SHR Media, and on Thursdays on the Exceptional Conservative Network. Just go to the Exceptional Conservative Show at 9 p.m. Eastern in the United States and 2 a.m. on Friday in the UK. You can hear me there. And my regular show times Okay, little truncated versions of this show, about 30 minutes a slice more or less, and other stuff that I do can be heard at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday and midnight on Saturday, both of those Eastern in the United States, and that's 6 p.m. Monday through Friday in the U.K. and 5 a.m. Saturday in the U.K. Jeff, it's been a great show. It's been a blur. We've got a lot of good stuff accomplished. I just want to say to you, great show, well done, and to the foot soldiers, angels, and freedom fighters who are not going to let this Wuhan virus keep you down. Yes, Mike was right about one thing. We're going to be living with this for the rest of their lives, and that means it's time to get up, get out there, get our freedom. Yeah. So be healthy, be prosperous, be blessed, and for goodness sake, no surrender. Jeff, take us home, my brother.
As usual, Dave. Once again, thank you for the slides and the great script this evening. Also, got to thank Bigfoot for joining us this evening. And Mike, thanks for calling in as well. We've heard so much of the doom and gloom. We try not to listen to the news because it's doom, gloom. The worst thing you can ever do is listen to the BBC or anything like that, the Sky News, and they'll have you with your head in your hands going, oh my, woe is me. But I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I'm an optimist. I believe in the future of the country, the future of our children. So whatever comes on, we'll take it on and we'll get rid of it and we'll move forward. We'll get our economies back and running. It needs to be done. The United States needs to do it. We in the United Kingdom need to do it. And all the other countries is affected. Just let's get it back together. There will finally come an end to this terrible thing that's with the Chinese and WHO was in hand in hand, allowed this thing to get out of control and it affected all. Think of it, 183 or 184 countries, ladies and gentlemen, it's affected. They got a lot to answer for, all of them. So with that, for myself and Dave, from our team, you take care, you stay safe, and we'll see you again. And not forgetting, no surrender ever to this woo-hoo crap and whatever. Just stay in there, stay firm, and no surrender. Good night, God bless. And here we go.
I'm so happy, I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show on screen with your boys again. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and I'm mine. My New Zealand friends was for Tommy Wine. Then the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. I'm so going underground. Pleasure as I hate me, I've done enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. To be here for what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Let the boys all shout for tomorrow. Oh,
Well, there you go. Dave, just let you know, I've had a cup of tea sat on the top, on the side here since the show began. I thought I've got to make a cup of tea, and I realised I ain't drunk this one. But Dave, once again, thanks, mate. So we're still live. We got about 30 seconds. And once again, we'll be back again this Thursday. We're still live, so and now we're going into archives. But we will not. I won't be doing the archives section. We will do one of these days. I'm not a bit sorry. We'll just play a bit of music, can't we, Dave? We can do that. We can play music, something we used to do. But we'll do that another day. Me and Dave will have a chat about that. We'll have maybe either an half an hour of just playing music. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it in the week, won't we, Dave? Yeah? Talk about it in the week. Now we are now into the archives. It's part of the show, but we just say good night. Thanking everybody for joining us this evening. Wherever you might be, we know you listen all over the world. We know you do. And we love you. We love you. We appreciate you. So, anyway, this is the English Defence League, a radio show, signing off for tonight. But guess what? We'll see you again this Thursday. You know, just keep safe out there. If you're locked in like me, keep safe indoors. Okay. Good night. God bless. Good night, all.
Now, extras that help you navigate the new media world.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York. The Lid himself, Jeff Dunitz. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com. At Lid Radio, we fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunitz.
Hey, are you guys listening? This is Shannon from Right Wave with Shannon and Mike in the AM on SHR Media. I know you've been wondering where we are and what's been going on. Well, folks, that's right, we're back. So please join us 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday on SHR Media, on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, and Facebook Live at 11 a.m. on Right Wave with Shannon and Mike in the AM at Facebook. You don't want to miss a minute. We've got lots of guests, lots of segments, and lots of interesting things. And let's face it, there's nowhere for you to go, so you might as well tune in. Again, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. We're back live on the air on SHR Media. 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday, audio and Facebook Live, audio and video. Yes, we are going to do video. Facebook Live, Right Way with Shannon and Mike in the AM. Hope to see you soon.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It is he that is me, bringing perspective from across the sea. Join me, Jack Alexander, 4 days a week for the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast, as I take a unique outsider's look at the news and issues affecting life and liberty here in the USA. I'll show you what the mainstream media refuses to. Politics, Border security, defence, healthcare, travel, nothing is off limits. Catch the Jack Alexander Experiment podcast each Monday to Thursday on Facebook, YouTube, and everywhere good podcasts can be found. Also, check out the website, www.jackalexanderexperiment.com.
Southern Sense is conservative talk with Annie, the radio chick you bellis as host, and C.S. Bennett, co-host. Informative, fun, irreverent, and politically incorrect. You never know where they'll go, but you'll love the journey. Annie is a top conservative host on Top Talk Radio and features some of the finest guests packed with important politicians and newsmakers. Listen every Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, on the SHR Media Network. Remember, Southern Sense is common sense.
After 6 years covering terror and corruption, the Unpleasant Blind Guy is making a change. I'm Dave Milner. Join me on Spreaker and YouTube through SHR Media and on the Western Free Radio Network as I team up with Jeff Mitchell, host of the English Defense League radio show on blogtalkradio.com. Check show pages for airtimes. It's the Unpleasant Blind Guy
on EDL Radio.
There's
no surrender, ever.
Because truth is not always pleasant.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
It's Your Business Diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truths on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
The dream deferred is real. You've been waiting for the Exceptional Conservative Network, and now it's here. Go to theexceptionalconservativeshow.com. Tune in and get the best in urban conservative talk. Stop dreaming. It's real.
WBN is proud to present the hosts from Sunday Long Live Radio.
Hey lovelies, this is Rhea from Sunday Long Live Radio from the World Broadcasting Network. You'll catch me live every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK for a few hours. I cover a lot of the chat that goes on, as well as covering lesser known stories. Following me at midday is Joss the Boss, the People's Poet.
Hi everyone, this is Joss the Boss from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard or 12 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering news from the red pill side of life with a little bit of humour thrown in for good measure. See you there.
Following Joss is Based Amy, our resident activist.
Hi everyone, this is Based Amy from the UK. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard or 1 o'clock GMT. I'll be covering Q stories among other Patriot news you may want to know about. See you there.
Following Amy is Nan from Ireland.
Hi, this is Nan from Ireland. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio every Sunday of the year, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard, 2 p.m. GMT. I'll be covering the news and joining some dots and looking at the bigger picture. Think how the West is changing, the influence of the UN, the NGOs, the WHO, etc. You know, that kind of thing. See you there.
Following Nan is Bullrock from Canada.
This is Marty, also known as Bullrock from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I will be taking a look at news from a more objective and concise point of view, so if you like detail, this is the place to be.
Also joining Bullrock is Ed the Bear from Canada.
Hi everyone, this is Ed the Bear from Canada. Join me on Sunday Long Live Radio, live every Sunday of the year, We're on the air 10 a.m. Eastern Standard or 3 p.m. GMT, which also happens to be Zulu time for those of you that are pilots. I'll be taking a look at the current news with Marty with a slightly discerning point of view. So if you like detail, this is the place to be.
There's your lineup for Sunday Long Live Radio, airing on the World Broadcasting Network every Sunday of the year, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard, 10 a.m. UK, 7 p.m. New South Wales. Just type in your browser WBN324 to tune in. We'll see you there.